Welcome to the Best of the Sports Shop podcast with Reese and K-Mac.
K-Mac's probably singing and dancing. I mean, you can't be happy about other people's downfall.
Wait a minute, hold on.
Can I finish my opening statement?
I'm sorry, sir. Go ahead.
I'm going to beat you to the punch. You can't not be happy, Jasmine. I know you're giggling. You cannot be happy.
I didn't even say anything.
Over people's downfall. You don't get excited about somebody having some difficulties in life. You raise them up. You inspire them. You don't do that.
You don't kick a man when they're down.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm just saying, you know. So here's a scenario. Let me paint the scenario to you. So.
I can't take it.
So all of a sudden, you know how it is. So you don't have a date to the prom. Listen to me now. Follow me.
I'm triggered.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a date to the prom. So you figured that, I didn't ask this person because, you know, when you see her in school, you know, she's dressed very conservative. She don't never have her hair down, you know. And, you know, and so she's very, I mean, she's just average, you know. She's not the hot chick.
Okay.
But all of a sudden you invite her to the prom because you don't have nobody. You got to fill that slot.
Mm-hmm.
She walked out the damn door like, bam. Like, I didn't expect this.
Mm.
What is going on? Then you take her to the prom. All of a sudden, everybody like, man, you want that dime you with. And like, no, not she the life of the party. Now she Miss Popular. She go back to school the next day. You know, she the prom queen and everything. So be careful. You got to evaluate people before you kind of sign up with them. Case in point, the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill last night, they had an open date. They were looking for somebody to take to the prom. So they invited Marquette to come in and hang out with them. K-Mac, Jasmine.
Uh-huh.
Unbeknownst to Roy Williams and the Carolina Tar Heels, and Marquette felt like the number one team in the country. They beat the brakes off of Carolina. And I'm going to tell you, it wasn't like it was rushed. And here's a Carolina fan talking. It wasn't like it was like, you know, well, maybe Carolina had a bad. No, Marquette beat the brakes off of them 83-70. And Marquette was under 500.
Seriously. You almost got your 17 points that you asked for.
Did I say 17?
Yeah, you did.
It's Reese's right sometimes. Not all the time. I mean, come on. You got to give me a break.
Oh, we got to modify Reese, the T-shirts now?
Hello. The T-shirts say –
That's on the back.
No. What the T-shirts say is Reese is right-ish. He's right-ish, not all the time, just right-ish.
I'm going to Jasmine to get the technical assessment of the game. Then we're going to hear from Roy Williams because Roy Williams got kind of hot during the press conference. But anyway, Jay Fritz,
wait a minute. You don't want to hear me congratulate you?
I'm sorry. Go ahead, K-Mac. I give you the floor.
No.
I know you're anxiously waiting to talk about this. Go ahead.
No, man. I wanted to support you. Publicly.
Support me? I'm good. You don't have to support me. I'm good.
And the reason I was excited because of NC State's win, which
we're going to talk about that unbelievable win.
Absolutely giddy. But I support you in this difficult time that transpired last night at Chapel Hill.
Then what?
So now I fulfilled my promise that I would be supported first. Now I'm going to get you and D Woods and all y'all asses soon as Jasmine finished.
Because they were talking cash money.
Thank you, Jasmine. Thank you. Thank you.
I have to admit, though, I wish the tables were turned. I wish the Duke had scheduled a game like that. Because I'll be totally out of control. I said, why it got to be me? Why it got to be us?
Oh, no.
Seriously.
And you haven't even gotten none of this smoke yet. But go ahead, Jasmine. You go ahead, Jasmine.
Yeah, okay. Where to even start? Yeah, from the jump, it seemed like Carolina was just out of it. I think yesterday I pointed out that I thought it was going to be a shooter's game. We needed Kerwin Walton. They needed Kerwin Walton to really
step yeah.
up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the great Kerwin Walton.
Did he struggle like none other? He started out 0 for 5 and 0 for 3 from behind the three-point line and then was able to get a free throw. He ended the night with shooting two and nine.
The Hall of Famer. The ACC Player of the Year. Yeah,
did not hit anything. What?
I said, who's we?
In what term? What are you talking about?
You said we needed Kerwin Walton. Who's we?
And then I fixed it and said they.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
You didn't? It was right after it.
Jesse, no, okay, Jesse, if you want to say we.
No, Jeff said it right.
She said it right. They.
The biggest thing is I didn't see a sense of urgency from Carolina. They were very, very sloppy, missing box out, missed assignments, leaving guys open for three several times. They went to this full court press in the second half, which was a bit successful, but at that point, it seemed like it was just way too late for them to even try and put together anything. Just the entire time they were playing, the entire game, they just kind of seemed out of it. And then Marquette, they just killed them. They took away their inside game, and then nobody could hit anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Marquette ate it. Marquette was quicker to the ball. Again, Marquette 83, Carolina 70. But here's the thing that I'm going to say this, then we're going to hear from Coach Williams on a couple of fronts. Does Carolina not play zone? Do they have a zone defense? Because if you are bigger than – I'm being sarcastic. Yeah, they play – Roy refuses to play zone for some reason. I have no idea. I mean, I'm not a coach, so I don't – maybe he has –
Wait a minute. Are you questioning Coach Williams? Are you questioning Coach Williams?
No.
What are we doing here?
No, I'm not questioning Coach Williams. Just asked, can we play zone for time to time? Let me help you out. If the team you're guarding is quicker than you are, and everybody on the other side, they can put the ball on the deck and get to the basket off the dribble, you may want to slow that down a little bit. If you're big,
inside, and now we're questioning the game plan of Coach Williams.
No, I'm questioning that game plan. I'm not really questioning. I'm just talking about the game plan against Marquette because Marquette was offensively they was quicker to the ball. They was quicker off the dribble, and it was kind of hard to guard. They had Dayron Sharpe about that guarding guards. You can't do that. Get back in the 2-1-2 zone or 2-3 zone, and they making threes anyway. Force them to make them when you play in zone. I mean, I didn't get that. But so, okay, man, you're going to have your moment, so just calm down. You'll be all right. Let's hear from.
Just asking.
Here's the question, and tee this up, Jazz. Did somebody ask him, because I got on the thing late. Did somebody ask him, does he question scheduling games due to the outcome? Does he question, really, scheduling Marquette?
Yeah, the question was about whether what his message to fans would be given that he scheduled this in the outcome.
Okay, let's check and see what he had to say about this.
What would you say to Carolina fans who are questioning whether or not it made sense to schedule this game considering the result?
Well, if I'd known we were going to lose, God Almighty, I wouldn't schedule the thing. Come on, we can't operate in damn hindsight. God Almighty. If you'd told me we were going to lose, hell yeah, we wouldn't have played the game. If you'd told me we were going to beat the Lakers, I'd have scheduled them. Carolina fans, they're not that dumb. If they are, I got no answers for them.
And then he walked off. He got up and left.
Yeah, he bounced after that.
Yeah, Coach, I'm with you, Coach. What kind of question is that?
God Almighty.
That's stupid. Okay.
That's, God Almighty.
Hold on, can we play the question? Let's play the question one more time. We don't have to play Coach's response. I just want to hear the question one more time. See if
what would you say to Carolina fans who are questioning whether or not it made sense to schedule this game considering the result?
God Almighty.
So they gonna know what the zone is? I mean, that's God Almighty. Say it again. One more time, Coach Williams. Say it again for me. What'd you say?
God Almighty.
I would coach on that one. Like, what are you asking me? Is that what y'all do, Reese? That's what you Carolina people do, huh?
Jasmine, text. I ain't gonna put them on blast. Who asked that question? Anyway,
you want me to? I'll text you.
Text it to me. Cause that was a stupid question to ask. I just want to know
what you Carolina fans are doing now. That's what y'all fans doing? Now y'all mad about that? You mad about coach running? No, he don't play zone. Now you mad because he scheduled the game? What else you mad about? What else y'all mad about?
Okay, man, let's get technical for 2 seconds. You know good and damn well if the other team is quicker than you are and you can't guard them, you got to do something different.
So here's just a possibility. Coach Williams actually wanted them to do something that, quite honestly, I just feel like Marquette was more dialed in. I don't think Coach Williams should have had to change his defense. I don't think he should have had to do that because I think they were skilled enough to be able to play much better than they did. I just think Marquette came in hungrier and exploited a few things, and at that point, they just stopped listening and they didn't do what Coach Williams was asking them to do. But I just think Marquette was hungrier, and that was the real outcome of the game. They were hungry.
And that's what Roy said after the game. He said he'd call a set and they'd go out there and run something else.
Yeah. Yeah. It was odd. It was just odd to watch. I don't know. Maybe y'all got the big head, Reese. What's wrong with y'all?
Well, that's part of it. Let's hear that sound bite. That's relative to what we just talked about. Let's take a listen.
We've had a couple of good wins, and then we turn around and we think we're a lot better than we really are. We don't have the attention to detail. It's bad coaching. Bad coaching. I called a set one time and I got out and they ran another set. They're not disciplined enough to do what I say. They went out on the court and changed their mind. So it's bad coaching.
How does that happen, Ray? Talk to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to have some level of success. You think you're all that. I think that's part of the kids today. I mean, that happens. That can happen. But I will say this though, K-Mac. Mm-hmm. I will say this. I'm still back on the zone. Coach Smith, he would have called a zone in the heartbeat. I'm just saying. I know these things. I mean, you know what? Trust me, I'm going to prove that right at some point. We're going to ask somebody that knows the game a lot more than we do and just get their reaction about that. Trust me. Anyway, last but not least, you know what? Let's go to James and Rod because you know what? We're going to pivot because I know what James wants to talk about, and we're going to give him his sunlight this morning on this Throwback Thursday. James, you want to talk about NC State Woodpeck, I'm sure. Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. How y'all doing? God almighty. All I need is 2 minutes.
I mean, wait a minute. Hello, man. You still around here? I ain't seen you since 2020.
I know.
Damn, hey, Coach Keith's winning twice. Look, Coach Keith win two games in a row, and all of a sudden, you out of the hospital, wherever you been.
Listen, man. I've been listening to y'all. Y'all been talking about my Eagles and my quarterback and all that. I've been listening to y'all. But talking about Tiger Woods, I've been listening to y'all. Yeah, I've been listening. But listen.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Appreciate it.
But Reese.
Yes, sir.
This morning, you are proving that all Carolina fans act just like them Cowboy fans. You're crying about everything else. He should have changed the defense. We all we need is a head coach. All we need is a starting quarterback. All we need. You sounded just like that this morning, man.
Oh, my bad. I didn't mean to do that. I didn't want to be come across that way. But maybe I did.
You are. So that's one reason why I called in. I'm like, hold up, buddy. He don't usually sound like this, but he really sounded like a Cowboy fan this morning.
He's down bad this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I got to call in and get him right, but you lost.
I appreciate it.
We lost. Marquette, buddy. Yeah, you lost. 83-7. I'm gonna remind you of the score. 83-7.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, I missed that. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. And the Wolfpack won. They beat the number 15 ranked team. 68-61. They won.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They might not go nowhere, but they won.
Mm. How about that, huh?
But they won. Yeah. Just think about that. Marquette, Virginia.
He said,
one so, was ranked.
He said,
one was ranked, and I don't know what the other one is.
There's below 500. There's below 500. No, there's below 500.
They
may be the top 200.
Okay. But that's all I had to call in and talk about. I heard you was going down. I tried to lift you up so you can get out of there.
Yeah. Hey, trust me.
Don't sound.
Hey, I feel worse than I felt before you called, but that's okay. We'll keep it moving, okay?
And then the Lakers, on the other hand.
Oh, my goodness. Man, it's a tough day for me. Central lost, Carolina lost, Alabama lost, the Lakers lost. Yeah, hell, all my teams lost last night, so, you know, this is where it is. But at least
sound
they play
like
zone.
Yeah, sounds like you back. Change team.
Yeah, you okay, NC State. We'll holler at you, man. We'll holler at you. You take care, Jay. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. Speaking of NC State, though, we got to pivot real quick, though. I would say this is probably – I think Coach Keats has had some. I can't remember the last time he had a signature win like this, K Mac and Jazz, beating UVA, which, by the way, lost. This is the third game they lost in a row. We got to talk about that, too. But NC State beats Virginia 68-61. Unbelievable game. Cam Hayes, 16 points. DJ Funderburg, 14. Shaq Moore, 14. Only had 9 turnovers. Hey, guys, this was a big time win for the Woodpack. Your thoughts, Mac? Okay, Matt, Jasmine, either one.
Well, I was just going to point out, and it was like that from the beginning of the game. I think Virginia held, they had 4 points for probably like the first 10, 11 minutes of this game. NC State came out swinging. And then, you know, as the game progressed, of course, you know, Virginia found themselves back in it, but NC State was able to get that win.
I mean, that win... Of course, NC State played well. NC State played with tons of energy. But that was just another example of when it works for Virginia, it's easy, easy, easy. When it's not working and you don't have all of the pieces, they struggle in places where you just don't, it just honestly doesn't make much sense. But they were exposed by that by Duke. Duke exposed that first, and I think NC State capitalized on it as well. But I would say that was probably a good 60-40. 60% of that was Virginia not doing remotely what they were capable of, and NC State coming out and just saying, you know what, we ain't got nothing to lose, and they came out swinging.
And Virginia couldn't hit anything.
No. They were too worried about it. Just seemed like they were like, well, we don't have to worry about making baskets. We just play better defense. Like, what?
No, and to your point, I think they forced Clark to score the basketball.
Yeah,
and as opposed to being a playmaker, and they're struggling with that. That's how Duke played them. That's how Florida State played them. Florida State played them that way first, and that's the formula to beat in Virginia, because if Keywon Clark, why did you pronounce his first name Keywon?
Kihei Clark.
Okay, I'm sorry. Kihei. Hey. He's supposed to be from Canada. Anyway, Kihei Clark, forcing him to score the basketball is tasting them out their rhythms. But anyway, shout out to Coach Keats. He called this another complete win. Let's take a listen to what Coach Keats had to say about this big Wolfpack win.
You know, we're talking over the last 2 or 3 weeks about playing a complete game. And I thought you saw the majority of what we did. I thought our guys did a tremendous job. When you look at the first half, I thought we played 17 minutes of great basketball. They had one segment where I thought we lost a couple guys and they made some baskets. But to say how proud I am of these guys, man, it's really unbelievable. You know, the fight that we've shown over the last few weeks.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've had so much adversity in this program this year. Obviously, the biggest one being COVID, which everyone has. But just losing your senior leader, and obviously, you know, without another experienced guard in Thomas Allen, and just to see these young guys grow up from practice to practice and from game to game. And so I thought they played tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
Big win, one of the better wins for NC State. And to this point, they got young kids in the backcourt. They're stepping up now. Funderburg is playing well. I just thought I was shocked when I turned on that game. They was up like by 12 coming down the stretch. It was phenomenal. And shout out to them. Coach Kisa also said that says his team is having the success the right way, unlike Carolina. Let's take a listen what Coach Kisa said that.
Our guys are getting better. I'm happy for these guys because we're handling success the right way. You know, when you look at us, and I don't know how many teams can say this, this is our fourth Carolina road win in a row, and that's pretty impressive. And so happy for it. I thought Virginia played well down the stretch, made us work for it at the end, and we're blessed to get out of here with a great win.
Nice.
Unbelievable.
Good job, Coach.
Very good job. But, yeah, I mean, Carolina had the struggles primarily because Marquette, they did three things, Jasmine came back, before they got the chapel here.
And what was that?
they had their Pepsi Zero Sugar, their Mountain Dew Zero Sugar, and they walked in the gym with their Fisher Sports Apparel and Sports Shop on, which is Under Armour, kept them right and kept them tight. Definitely last night. They really did.
Get it right, get it tight. Get it right.
Call the park, Bubba Sparks, Ying Yang Twins.
Pointed out that I thought it was going to be a shooter's game. We needed Kerwin Walton to really
up. Oh, boy, the great Kerwin Walton.
Don't forget to play the sound bite about we're going to win by 17. Put it down.
God Almighty.
God Almighty.
Yeah, that's what I said too.
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
From the basketball court at the University of Virginia to the classroom at UNC Chapel Hill, Dr. Deborah Strowman has it all covered. Now this professor and sports business entrepreneur is about to take you to school. It's time for Dishing It Up with Dr. Strowman and the Sports Shop on Buzz Sports Radio.
D. Stro, how you doing, Dr. Strowman?
D. Stro, welcome to the show.
I'm doing well, How are you all today?
We're doing wonderful. Doing wonderful.
Good.
Took me a minute to recover from last week, but I'm back. I'm ready. I'm ready for class.
No, it's all good. Today is just something that it doesn't surprise us, but I just find that many of us just throw our hands up and say, "What can we do?" I want to start off with a quote. It's heartbreaking and so wrong on a human level that in a country that's the wealthiest per capita in the world, people are being denied such basic rights, which you or I would take for granted, being paid an agreed wage, being protected from abuse, or being able to take the odd day off to visit loved ones. So what I'm talking about is something that I followed. I think it's been at least 6 years. But there just doesn't seem to be an answer because it's about greed. I'm talking about a human rights issue in Qatar. Qatar was issued the World Cup, was granted the World Cup back in 2010. And the previous FIFA boss is now gone. Some people say he was the worst thing ever in sports. But Gianni Infantino, who was supposed to clean everything up, is continuing the history of just following the money. And so Qatar has been noted time and time again by leading human rights organizations for their mistreatment of their migrant workers. And these workers are from all over the world, primarily from India, Pakistan, Nepal, Bangladesh, Philippines, Kenya, and Sri Lanka. And the recent news is that they're saying more than 6,500 migrant workers have died. And it's probably higher because the data is limited just to those listed countries. But it's everything from, I mean, just the worker conditions. In 2014, Qatar abolished what we know as the kafala system, which basically all the Gulf states operate under, except for, I believe, Iraq. But what it means is that migrant workers are tied to a single employer and you have to get permission from their employer to leave the country. But as it's been noted in particular by Amnesty International, little has changed in law, policy, and practice. There's more than 2 million migrant workers in the country and they represent almost 100% of the private sector workforce and more than 83% of the total Qatari population. And so the deaths are everything from electrocution, blunt injuries due to falls from height, there's suicides. The daytime temperatures can approach 120 degrees. I saw Vice did a video special on it. I guess they were able to get cameras in there. But you've got guys living in rooms that really should hold like two or three people. There's eight people in a room. Some of them don't have restrooms and bathrooms. There's rats, all types of, I mean, it is just terrible. And the reason why they're attracted there is because they're coming from places where it's really poor. And so they get promised that they're going to make X amount of dollars, anywhere from $500 to about $4,000 in the United States money. But then once they get there, they're threatened. The workers, the companies will take their passports. They can't get back home. People back home in their countries, they never hear from their husbands again. I guess I'm just throwing up my hands and saying, who cares and what can we do?
Hmm. Now, that part may be interesting to think about. Who cares? We all probably care. We all probably should, you know, do care. But what can we do? Is this a system that they volunteer for? Is this a system that they willingly go into? Or is this a system that they're forced into?
Well, clearly, I mean, you think about our relationship with Mexico mm-hmm. and the immigrants who come in to work. And so we don't force them, but due to the conditions in their country, they're trying to pay their bills. They're trying to take care of their families. They want to survive. I won't even say get rich. And so then what right do we have as Americans, as employers, to treat them poorly? And so that's why this is a human rights issue. And as it's been quoted, by FIFA, they say, while stadiums remain the foundation for the successful hosting of a FIFA World Cup, it's absolutely paramount to ensure the best possible solutions in relation to key infrastructure as well as sustainability, human rights, and event legacy. And so they need these stadiums to go up, and they need to go up fast. But citizens, who wants to do that type of work? Who wants to be subjected to that? Who wants to basically be close to death while you work? And so then you exploit, you take advantage of people who don't have any other choice, so to speak. And remember, in 2026, it's coming to the United States. For the first time ever, we're going to have 48 teams, 80 matches, and it's hosted by three countries, us, Canada, and Mexico. It's just greed. And it's evil. So, you know, I want us to, you know, I'm going to do my part. And whenever I get the opportunity, I want people to remember, because who knows what's going to happen with the pandemic. But, you know, if this does take place in 2022 in Qatar, I want to make sure whenever I talk about the World Cup to lift up this issue and ask people to support these organizations that are continuing to shine a light on how people are being abused.
Yeah, that's a real tough situation. We talked to Dr. Deborah Strowman each and every Thursday, same place, same time. And yeah, I guess I wasn't aware of all this. I've heard some snippets of it, but not to the extent that you just described it. And it'll be interesting to see what happens going forward, because this is something that we definitely need to highlight and daylight on this show. Make people aware of what's going on.
Dr. Strowman, do you feel like there's a responsibility for this to be not just on, you know, human rights activists to kind of elevate, but, and I guess I don't even know the organizations that would need to speak out about this, but if we're talking about a World Cup, then we have teams that are obviously going to benefit from playing here. Is there a responsibility for them to have to, one, be aware of this, and also to kind of speak out against it? And I mean, I don't know what they could demand for change, but to try and bring about change.
Well, you know, you've just sparked my interest in possibly maybe reaching out to our United States Soccer Federation
and ask what is their position about this. You know,
right?
You know,
because
as a black
I feel
woman,
like
yeah, as mm-hmm. a black woman, obviously, well, I'm gonna say obviously, I do care about how black people are treated in this country. I care about how brown people are treated. I care about how white people are treated, but in particular for my people. And so, will I kneel? Yes. Will I send money to different organizations to help stop gerrymandering and stopping Americans from voting? Yes, I will. Will I post on my social media? Yes. And so with that being said, then I think any American who's involved and as in seeking benefits of the World Cup, as in our teams possibly winning a medal, I know some people out there laughing with that, but we do have a team that competes in the World Cup. Then what is our responsibility? Should we kneel? Should we have patches on? Should we make a statement before we go and play and participate when it comes to the United States? Do we want to lift up this? But I think, you know, I want to make sure I get more information in terms of what is our United States Soccer Federation doing about this besides just those social justice organizations like Amnesty International who are bringing attention to it. What are we doing as a governing body in soccer?
We're talking with Dr. Deborah Strowman, same as we do each and every week. And Dr. Deborah Strowman, I'm dishing it up with D. Stroh. And D. Stroh, I want to kind of close with just one thing. People that are listening, people that may be concerned, realistically, just name it certain, what should we do? Being aware, great. Understanding, great. Having empathy, great. What should we do?
Well, unless you are independently wealthy and you can take a flight over there with all of the physical distancing and everything and, you know, stand outside and protest in front of our embassy. You know, the only thing we can do is to be organized, right? That's the history of protest. That's how we make changes for labor rights. And so connecting with Amnesty International and saying, what can I do? We know money is always helpful because it takes money for social justice organizations to affect change. Everything from creating campaigns, lobbying Congress, to getting supplies to workers. You know, when the documentary I saw, you know, watching those boxes being taken off the airplanes of men who died and then being shipped back to their countries with no name on the casket, on the box with their bodies, watching the families, you know, just crying and never getting an answer as to what even happened to their husband. So these organizations who work to fight this, they need our support. And I don't know where your dollars are going, but consider if this is one of the causes that touches your heart, because there's so much evil going on across the world, so much exploitation. We're never short of which particular, advocacy group we can support. But clearly when we talk about sports and talking about arguably the most important, most attention-getting event in all of sports, that this is taking place, that we allow countries to do this. Obviously our relationship in the Middle East, everything from, you know, the battles that are going on, the differences with the religions, the struggles, all that stuff is going on. Again, I just have to go to greed, because this is about an oil-rich country that is able to do this and get away with it. We need oil.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Dr. Strowman, as always, it's a pleasure having you on, and can't wait to continue this conversation and many others, and we'll see you on the other side next week.
Well, thank you. I ask you all to, whenever we talk about soccer and World Cup, please lift this up. We need more people in
Definitely.
The world to know about it.
Outstanding. Thank you, Dr. Strowman. As always, it's a pleasure having you on.
Have a great day.
All right, take care.
Bye. You too.
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
Welcome back to the Sports. Oh, DC, do we have a poll question for today?
We do, at Buzz Sports Radio on Twitter. The question is NC State going to make the NCAA tournament? To clarify, Ooh. You know, not, you know, we know they're going to make the ACC tournament. But are they going to make the NCAA tournament? Yes or no? 73% of the people say no, they're not.
Really?
Well, because they'd have to win the ACC tournament to get in.
Oh. Oh.
Possibly.
If they won the rest of their games, which I think they have like four or five, maybe, maybe mm-hmm. less than that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they made a significant run, I guess you could say, in the ACC tournament. No, they'd have to win the ACC tournament.
Yeah, they have Pitt and Syracuse left.
Oh, so yeah, they only have two games left.
You're going to have to define significant run.
All but the losing in the championship game.
Actually, I misspoke on that. They have Pitt, Notre Dame, Virginia Tech left. My apologies.
Okay.
Ooh, they can win out. They can win out.
Virginia Tech would definitely be a big win for them. And then get mm-hmm. a win or two in the ACC tournament. I think they have a chance, in my opinion, because I have a gut feeling that there are going to be some teams that would have qualified for the NCAA tournament that are going to have a COVID situation, and they're just not going to be able to go. So, all right, got to fill the tournament. Hey, team number 69, 70, and 71, you're in now.
Does it Does it always feel this way?
For NC State?
It seems like every year we're doing the same thing with this NC State. Will they make it? Is it possible? Can they for once just not be on the underside of the bubble? Just once, be on the top side of the bubble. That's all. Just one time. Every year we got through the same process with NC State. And here we are again. They're just teasing you. They're teasing you. That's what's really going on. They're teasing you. But we'll find out. But it is Throwback Thursday, and we do this each and every Thursday, and the day is no different. Hopefully Jasmine will not stumble on any names from an era of which she should be familiar with since you actually picked the year. I know you two had something to do with this because I'm just trying to figure it out.
DC
and it's
did.
Just me. And maybe, I don't know. I think Reese is on. 2011, that's a throwback. And maybe I'm just too old to think that, you know,
Ten years ago, a decade.
That's a throwback.
Good. Yeah.
Well, maybe for you. You're right. Maybe for you.
Everything
slightly,
is broken
slightly
up.
Younger than
it's
I
like,
am.
Yeah, just slightly, but like, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. So it's like, it's a decade.
Okay. All right. We'll take a decade. All right, Jasmine, what we got?
All right. Let's start over in the WNBA. In 2011, with the number 5 pick, the Los Angeles Sparks drafted Jantel Lavender. No, I do not know if that's how you pronounce that name. I will be upfront on that one. Number 4 pick, the Minnesota Lynx drafted Amber Harris. The number 3 pick, Chicago Sky, they drafted Courtney Vandersloot out of Gonzaga. The number 2 pick, Liz Cambage, she was drafted by the Tulsa Shock. And I'd like to give you guys the number 1 pick. Out of UConn, the Minnesota Lynx drafted this person.
No.
No, it wasn't Diana Taurasi.
No.
No, I'm missing this one.
Is it Maya Moore? Yeah, yes.
Maya Moore. I was going to say, Moore. Is it Maya Moore? Yeah.
It is. All right, over on, that was the top 5 drafts in the WNBA. Over on the NBA side of things, the number 5 pick, the Toronto Raptors, drafted Jonas Valanciunas. The number 4 pick, the Cleveland Cavaliers,
Who drafted him, number 1?
This is the 5th pick.
Oh, 5th. Oh, shoot. I was going to say, I don't remember that, but okay, good.
The number 4 pick, the Cleveland Cavaliers, drafted Tristan Thompson. The number 3 pick, the Utah Jazz, right, drafted Enes Kanter.
Okay.
From Turkey. The number 2 pick, Derek Williams, was drafted by the Minnesota Timberwolves. All right, hit me with your guesses for the number 1 draft pick in 2011 in the NBA.
Who had the pick?
The Cavaliers.
Cavs. Oh, is that Kyrie?
That is Kyrie.
Yeah.
That was Kyrie.
So wait a minute. So the Cavs picked Kyrie and Tristan Thompson.
Yes, that is correct.
So wait a minute, Jess. So you got to tell me who else was in this draft because I feel like you're missing somebody.
it's actually pretty funny. Kawhi Leonard
he went,
was in this draft.
He went 15.
He did go 15.
I'm just asking, and it's just me. I'm just asking a general question here. Tristan Thompson, Kawhi Leonard. What is it on? What did they possibly see to say we need Tristan Thompson over what Kawhi Leonard was doing? Anybody know?
Nah, I can't help you there.
Different school. Where did Tristan go? Where did school did he go to?
He went to Texas.
Oh, that's why.
San Diego State.
Yep, yes. Bigger PR machine. That's what it is.
I think Clay Thompson and Kemba Walker.
I would like to get through to all the guys in this.
Oh my goodness, this is going to be horrible. Go ahead.
Kemba Walker, Clay Thompson, the Morris twins, and we mentioned Kawhi, Iman Shumpert, Tobias Harris, Nolan Smith was in this draft.
Wow.
I'm scrolling through. Jimmy Butler was in this draft.
Wasn't he pick number 28 or something like that? Jimmy
30.
Butler?
Yeah, he was 30. The last in the first round.
Yeah, I know you went late, man.
Yeah. Kyle Singler, for all you Dukies out there, he was in this draft.
So Kenneth Kyle Singler. So Kyle Singler and
Nolan Smith and
Kyrie were on the same Duke team,
Kyrie and they all got drafted together. And he played 11 games, something like that.
Was it 11? Wasn't he 3?
Oh, I don't know. I can't remember.
What did I play? I mean, look, on the books, it probably does say 11, but it kind of felt like
right. Biyombo was in this draft.
Oh man.
Oh really?
Drafted by the Kings. Yep, and traded to Charlotte.
He's gotten lost. He can't seem to figure out how to get out of Charlotte.
Brandon Knight. And then these are the college standouts. You know, the Brandon Knight out of Kentucky. Jimmer Fredette, sharpshooter from BYU. Oh. He was in this draft.
Nice. Very nice.
He played himself into a contract.
Jimmer Fredette. Chandler Parsons 30. Was also in this draft.
You know what, Jasmine? What's this year? 2011.
2011.
This was a... Mm-hmm.
Tobias Harris.
So it was interesting. Just so we went through all of those names, those great names. Give me the top three picks again.
Kyrie Irving, Derek Williams, and Enes Kanter.
Derek Williams. Really?
And Isaiah Thomas was in this draft too. The very last pick.
Oh, little man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right. Shorty 30.
Oh, goodness. Shorty 30.
No Tar Heels in this one? I didn't see any in Tar Heels.
Oh, yeah. Weird. I'm not seeing anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
Better luck next year.
Yeah, maybe that's a year they didn't win. I don't know. We'll see.
All right. Now let's move over to the NFL. The number 5 pick in the 2011 draft, the Arizona Cardinals drafted Patrick Peterson out of LSU. The number 4 pick, the Cincinnati Bengals drafted A.J. Green. Wide receiver from Georgia. The number 3 pick, the Buffalo Bills drafted Marcell Dareus. That's an Alabama guy. Is that?
Yeah.
You remember
defensive
him?
Lineman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course it is.
And the number 2 pick, the Denver Broncos drafted Von Miller.
Oh, nice.
Pretty solid top 5.
Yeah. And of course it's the number 1 pick. So you guys go ahead, take a stab at it. I know you will get it. I believe in you. 2011 in the NFL. The number 1 draft pick.
Oh, I know this one.
Mm-mm. I don't know.
Oh, come
Reese.
On.
It's a quarterback. Guys, you know this. The quarterback.
In 2011?
Being able to be orally gifted.
He just has a way with words.
Yeah, I blocked all of that out. Because
you don't expect the lion not to roar?
Because he was playing for Auburn, so I forgot.
The Carolina Panthers drafted Cameron Newton
in 2011. I didn't realize.
I didn't realize
he played in college. I forgot all about that.
Solid top of the draft there.
Julio Jones was in this draft too. He was picked number 6. He was drafted from obviously to Atlanta.
Of course.
All right. Thank you.
Killing me.
Thank you.
That's classic. Of course we did.
Of course we did.
Yeah. That's, you know what though, when you look back on these, especially the NBA and the NFL,
mm-hmm.
it was a pretty. I have to say, it's going to be a lot of Hall of Famers out of for the NBA and the NFL out of those two draft classes.
Colin Kaepernick was also drafted this year, 2011, in the second round.
Would have been a Hall of Famer if it wasn't for all of this foolishness, because I have a feeling he would have been on a team and went to another Super Bowl.
Yeah, Andy Dalton drafted this year.
Mark Ingram. First round.
Nice.
Of course.
Very nice. That's another one. Man, that's...
J.J. Watt.
That's a lot of talent.
Yep, J.J. Watt. Blank Gabbert.
Now go ahead and say it again, Jeff. Go ahead and say it again. Try to say it again.
It's because he was right above J.J. Watt, so I just like to get him the name.
Oh, okay. This was the year. This was Jake Locker, Blaine Gabbert, Christian Ponder, that whole quarterback draft class.
Oh, Jake Locker. Yeah, what? So, I don't know. Reese, maybe you know. What happened to Jake Locker? What's the deal with it? Where did he go? He just left. He just quit altogether?
I think so.
You just tapped out? Okay. All right. I remember him, too. It was a lot of hype. He reminds me of Tannehill for some reason. I don't know why, but he just does.
Ryan Kerrigan drafted this year.
Nice.
I like Ryan Kerrigan.
Very nice. All right, Jasmine, that's all you got for us.
Yeah, those are top five draft picks from the 2011 WNBA, NBA, and NFL draft.
Outstanding draft classes. I got a feeling that we'll see quite a few Hall of Famers out of those draft classes. So that was very nice.
For sure. For sure.
You've been listening to the Best of the Sports Shop podcast with Reese and K-Mac. Don't forget, you can download this podcast every weekday at WRALSportsFan.com, on our new WRAL Sports Fan app, and in the iTunes Store.